Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the raptor, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap. Check the facts, expose those cats who pose as heroes, take advantage of blacks. Your government's gangsters, so cut the crap. A war going on, so where y'all at?
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Holly O'Connor.
Hello.
That is producer Ryan McGivney, who doesn't have his microphone or his headphones on.
No, he's just hanging out.
Always
for the ride.
Prepared and ready to go. And then we have our video producer who's making his first appearance, Mr. Buck.
Yo, yo, what's up?
Buck Nasty.
Yeah.
I am what radio is.
Yes, you are. There's that.
Let that go on record.
Yes.
Oh, Buck. He is the guy, a lot of our videos, like when you see headphone karaoke on video, when you see us do Dish Nation, Hot Dish every day, he's the guy that handles all of that for us. And he does a wonderful job.
And the website. Come
and
on.
The website.
Yes.
That's true.
And the app.
Yeah,
yes.
You make us look good whenever there's something wrong. I'm like, Buck!
And then he's like, I got it.
Okay, Buck, for real. How annoyed do you get with me on a constant basis when I'm like, something's wrong on the website?
No, I don't get annoyed with you guys, because what I do is there's 6 stations here at Cox Media Group, mm-hmm. and I do 3 of them, probably the 3 busiest. So I've got a ton of stuff coming at me, people all day reaching out, and managers here in the building that need stuff done. You guys are the nicest. You're like, Buck, excuse me, but when you have time, could you please?
I'm sorry. Please? We like apologize for our living, and we ask you to do things for us.
No, I don't
see
mind
Buck
it.
In the hall and make sure to call him a bitch.
Oh. Oh. Now,
it's like that.
There's a bit of anonymity between producer Ryan and video producer Buck.
Oh. Now, I'm curious, as a person who deals with us and the other radio talent in the building, because we're so nice, and some people, not that they're not nice, but they're probably a little bit more snippy when it comes to things that they want, who are you more likely to do stuff for if you have to make a choice? The person that's nice to you or the person that's sort of demanding it be done?
I'd say it really depends, because sometimes there's something that needs to be done that is it's got a lot of money on it, and it's got other factors in it besides who's nice to me. Mm-hmm. So I have to jump on it, or a salesperson that when they say something, you kind of have to jump right away.
Okay, that's a bullshit answer. That's a very political answer.
What
political
he means answer. Is y'all get pushed to the side because you're nice and he knows we're not going to mind.
No. Because
I would. I mean, I'll be honest. See, if someone's going to be nice to me, I'll put them at the back.
See, but this is what I'm trying to sort of understand. I feel like I'm coming to a very important, not decision, but... when you have to realize if you want to always be like the nice guy, you know, like when you're dating a
yes.
lot and you realize you're and you finally yeah. make that realization you're the nice guy, and that girls or guys or whatever, they're just like, oh, he's so nice. I like you as a friend, but I really like the guy that, you know, does meth and lives in the basement of his parents.
Treats me like shit.
Yeah,
he doesn't
call
answer
me.
My texts, but
he's giving me an STD.
Oh, my.
But there's just something about him that just when we're doing it, he just hits the right spot.
No, I won't friend zone you guys. Look, when I'm sitting in my office and I've got a million things coming to me at once, I know if Miguel or Holly say, oh, could you add this to our website? Oh, could you do this? I know, because I am actually friends with you guys, that I'm going to make the time to get it done. Whereas, I'm not going to name any names, but if another show or something comes up and they need something, sometimes I'll have to get to it when I get to it.
Mm.
So you're in favoritism by being friends with me.
Well, that's good to know.
Okay.
So niceness has its perks.
That's right.
Because I sometimes wonder if, you know, because I thought, like, when we first got here to this building, you know, and especially in the big market like Tampa Bay, most of the morning shows have been here for a very long time. And so there's a certain level of, I don't want to say entitlement. I would, because if I've been working, you know, like I'm at 10 years in radio, and so there's definitely certain level of I don't want to do that but if I have to, I will. Like, if they're like, hey, can you banner Emily Arena?
I know, right?
I'll be like, bitch, do you know what the fuck I did 10 years ago when I was in Savannah in the hot goddamn sun putting up banners all around with fucking sand gnats over me?
But if you had to, you'd be like, I'll banner the shit out of this arena.
I'm going to fucking put all you to shame and banner this.
Yeah. Time out for a second. I didn't know we were dropping F-bombs.
Oh, this is uncensored.
Okay, uncensored.
Yeah,
all right.
Uncensored, bitch.
Yeah.
Drop them
fuck
off.
Shit ass. Fuck shit ass. Okay, let's
you
do it.
You have to do it on
I gotta get it out.
You gotta get it out. I think whenever anyone does it for the first time, they're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Giggling like a little schoolgirl.
Right? Yeah. But so, you know, I can do that. But then, like, you know, like I said, I've been here, been doing radio, morning radio for 10 years. So there's just certain things I would like to not do if...
Is there a noise? Because it sounds like werewolves are outside this studio.
Hold on, what it is.
Hold on.
It's a baby dolphin.
What no, is that
you know
noise?
What? I did see the hot building workers, the people who own the building. They're doing something. They came in as I was going to get you bucked about the podcast. So they may be working on something.
Okay, because it sounds like a werewolf, and I'm like, am I losing my mind? I hear werewolves in the background.
Fuck that noise.
Yep. Podcast canceled.
Okay. But here's the thing. I want to know, like, are we too nice? I feel like it was a novelty when we got here. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, Miguel and Holly are just so nice.
Well,
that's
and it took them
friendly.
A minute, though, because I think they didn't believe that we're actually nice people.
Right.
So they were like, okay, this is an act. And then when eventually it wasn't an act and it still continues, they're like, that's truly great. Doesn't really help you, but it's great. You know what I mean?
Like, do I need to be a bitch, you know, to get stuff done?
Do I gotta be a bitch?
Right. No, do I need to be Buck, why the fuck does it still say the Miguel show on the app and not say Miguel and Holly?
I knew that would come up. Buck's
fault.
Let me just jump back and say I was here before you guys got here to Hot 101.5. And there was a morning show here with Seth and Jade on there. Mm-hmm. And now I love both of them, and I was friends with them. I wasn't friends with them like I'm friends with you guys, but there was always a rule. You could not come into the studio here unannounced. You know, you couldn't bring anybody from outside the station in here, especially if Jade didn't have her makeup on. I did that one time, and she was not happy with me at all.
Oh, wow.
So they were here, but it wasn't, they weren't like you guys. They weren't very like, I don't want to say this if they listen. They weren't welcoming with open arms. They were welcoming, but they just weren't like ready to hug you. So when I saw you guys getting interviewed and you were walking around the building, I said to myself, oh man, they look, I'm going to make friends with them right away. You know what I mean?
We looked very friendly?
You did look friendly.
Yes.
Is that a good thing, though, or is that a bad thing?
Like, no, it's good to look friendly.
Wait, or do we look like the frumpy friend who's like, somebody hug me?
No.
Not like the all-star top 20 market talent.
I was very confused that your name was Miguel and you were black. I was trying to figure it out. Was he Spanish black?
what kind of black is he?
He got word. He's like, hey, Miguel and Holly will be in the building. And he saw you walking. He's like, where's Miguel?
Is he Dominican?
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Mm. Well, that's good to know, though. Like, here's what I feel like. I think we'd have both of us become a bit more polished looking. So maybe we did look a little frumpy when we got here. But I think actually our time on Dish Nation has made us a little bit more polished.
True.
But we're
be
still
on TV.
Nice.
Right. All right. Well, I sometimes wonder if we get taken advantage of because we're so nice and we're so friendly. And I think that's sort of the one thing that I would say that is missing since our other co-host. We used to work with this guy named Kramer who we've had on the podcast before because he was the diva. And he will admit that he was the diva when we were younger and we were working together. And I remember one time we worked across the street in Tampa and we almost got suspended for something we said about an advertiser, but we didn't say it. But it was just they thought we were inferring about them. Yeah. And I remember when someone came in and said, well, there was talk about suspension. I have never seen someone grab their headphones so fast. And he was like, you can call my agent. You get. And I was like, I would never do that. Now, I think that he will admit that he would not do that now.
Right.
I don't think, because it was sort
of. I think he was in a different place.
Yeah, in a different place. It was a supercharged moment. But I feel like with me, if someone came in here, I'd be like, well, I guess it's a paid day off, girl. I'll go to the bar tonight.
Yes, I'm going home.
Am I in pay? Do I need to call Norm? Do I need to call our agent? I don't know, girl.
I just get real like, I don't know. I get so nervous about any confrontation, so I just try to avoid it typically.
Well, and I think also it comes from I don't want to. I think as being me, a gay black man, and Holly, you being a woman, I think we still deal with, you know, do we deserve to be here syndrome, where we are always like, well, we're here on a needle and a thread.
Yes.
And one wrong hope
and a prayer.
And one wrong move, girl. One eye roll and we are out the door on our ass.
Let me ask you a question. If you really think like that, when Hurricane Irma came and you guys were asked if you'd like to come in on Sunday, was that the day it hit?
Supposed to be the day that it was hitting.
Is that why you were very quickly, you raised your hands to come in, because you kind of feel like that?
No, that is just because Holly and I, we truly love and enjoy our jobs. Yeah. And those are the moments when you really submit your bond with your family, your listeners, and to be there in a time of need. Like, that's why when Pulse happened, we came in on a Sunday. No one asked us to come in.
Right.
That was just my first instinct watching when Pulse was going down that Sunday was, I need to be on the radio. I need to talk to my people.
Yeah.
And so for that wasn't even I was disappointed that we weren't on Sunday, because they said, well, we're going to flip over to Fox 13. And we're going to simulcast, so we don't need you. And I was disappointed a little bit because they didn't want us to be here. I wanted to be here. I wanted to be talking with the people. But when they said, we don't need you, I said, well, bye, girl. I'm in an evacuation zone. I'm getting my ass up to the panhandle.
Yeah.
And so we left. So, no, it's not. That's not it. I think that when we first got here, I think a lot of the things that we said yes to do, it was because we were afraid of, you know,
And we were trying to prove that we belonged in a big market.
Right. And I still think, you know, me being a black gay male, Holly, you being a woman, and I think also us being from a small market, you sort of always have that that feeling of like, well, people are kind of looking at you like you don't, like somebody else should be in your spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like Jade was so pretty and she was so polished.
She had come from TV.
She come from, like it was Jade Donovan, you know. She was Hot 101.5, you know.
For us, like notoriously, I remember somebody was like, are they hip enough?
Yeah.
And I have said consistently, no. No. Like, really think about this. Like,
right.
We bring a lot to the table.
Right.
That is for you to decide.
Right.
And I want to let everyone know that where Jade used to sit, that's where old fucking Ryan sits.
I remember hearing about that, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, because she didn't like to run her own board.
Right, right. But, no. I mean, if it works for you that way, that would be, I'm assuming, an ease for you, right?
Yeah.
Miguel, because you've sort of had producer Ryan showing him how to run the board in case we need it.
Yeah, it would in some instances. I still like to, I'm a control freak.
Mm.
And I know, like, everything that we do, I hear it in my head before we do it. And so I know exactly where I want this bed to hit, how I want it to hit. So if I had control of our music beds, I wouldn't mind not having to, like, run the board if I had control over it. But, you know. Who knows if that would be possible if I sat over where Ryan sits.
Mm.
Ryan, would you want to run the board?
Sure.
That doesn't sound very convincing.
Yeah. Well, sure. I know you like to do it, so.
You said what?
I said I know you like to do it.
Right.
So, but I will. I will.
When you first got here, how did you decide who runs the board? You? Miguel,
I've never
Holly?
Run the board.
Oh.
Ever.
Oh.
So it was immediately I was not going to do it.
Well, it's just something, because I'm a control freak and I like to have that control of, like, where music plays, how it flows in and out, the flow of, like, when things hit, when it doesn't hit, when I want to be dramatic, I can change the elements. Like, all those are things that, like, I love to do. And so.
And you're good at it. And, like, I think it's always been my role to be in this seat, if you will. Like, even when we did the other show with that guy Kramer show, I was like the co-host, and I consider us both to be co-hosting, like hosting/co-hosting this show, because we're equal.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that there can't be two drivers.
Right.
So you're the driver.
Right.
What's interesting is that we take turns being generators and reactors, which is cool, because on a lot of shows, that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
But as far as the person in the driver's seat, it's Miguel, 100%. Like, even when it was the Miguel show with Mandy and Holly, he was, you know, behind the board. So I've never wanted that. Like, if something crazy, like, if some crazy shit happened and Miguel, like, got hit by a bus, I would try to run some shit. But I don't want that. I don't want to do that. And some people aspire for that. And we talk about this in, like, my women's radio groups, and they're like, girl, run that board. And I'm like, nah, I'm okay. Right. Like, but that's just not something that I personally aspire to. And that's okay, too. I'm trying to be the best me for my position that I can be.
Yeah, I mean, because I've always wanted to be sort of like the, because I feel like how our show operates, like, I sort of have, like, the big purview of, like, what Miguel and Holly represent and, like, what bits we do and, like, how to make it all fit into the filter of when you walk away from our show, when you listen, you're like, oh, okay, I got a sense of who Miguel and Holly are. Like, that's, I feel like, is what I'm in charge of, whereas Holly makes sure day to day that, like, all the moving parts and pieces of what you hear on the radio happens, but I sort of get, like, the big purview of, like, what we are, like, our legacy. Like, what are, like, if we walked away, like, if our contracts aren't renewed and we walked away, here's what I would want us to be remembered for in the Tampa Bay market. And I'm sort of spearheading like that, the sound of that, if that makes sense.
Cool.
You just answered a lot of questions that he didn't ask. Sorry, Buck.
Halfway through that, I kind of was like looking at the wall.
You're like, what happened?
Let's talk about you.
No, let's not.
So Buck, our video producer, Buck, who you see in our social media, see, you would have been well to listen to what the fuck I said, because then we wouldn't have turned our eye on you. Now I'm about to rake you through the fucking coals, bitch.
Bring it.
So, Buck, who are you? How long have you been in radio? How old are you? How long have you worked
here?
You
know how old I am.
The people listening know how old you are?
55.
30, 39. I just turned 39.
Hey!
I got a nice hug, kind of, from Miguel.
Yeah.
I don't know. He kind of sexually harassed me, but
that's what you sign up for when you come in.
It is what it is.
You said you're 39.
Miguel!
Is this when you started radio? Is this what it sounded like? You were like, I met Marconi back in the day.
I was going to say Marconi turned on the radio and Buck was there.
Wow.
Been here 5 years, came from Denver, did radio and TV out there. I moved to Florida because my wife got a job and I moved in the apartment complex right behind the building.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my dad were sitting there moving the couch in and he turns around and he goes, hey, you see that? And I go, what? And we saw all the station vehicles parked out back.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to end up working there.
Here you are.
And yeah, it didn't take long. And then,
wow.
And then here I am.
And you've been here for how long?
So I've been here 5 years. Actually, probably like five and a half if you count like part-time stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was part-time in Denver. I was like kind of like Ryan is, where I call it part-time hell, where you're obviously ready for full-time and mm-hmm. for whatever reason an opening's not showing itself or, mm-hmm. you know, you haven't made that leap yet. And I knew in Denver to make that leap, I would have to switch markets. So I came here kind of hoping to look around and make that move. And so I worked here, I think, four months part-time.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, man, I told myself I'm doing 1 year part-time, and if they don't make me full-time, I'm peace out. And so luckily my boss moved to Portland, Oregon, and they snatched me up. And where I headed in digital was crazy because, you know, you get in the radio to talk in radio, and I'm probably farthest from that. And I'm in the digital side and started in promotions where a lot of people start.
Do you miss it? Do you wish you're on the air?
There's, I don't know. When I was in Denver, I was on air, and there's fun to both sides. To me, if you're on air and then maybe you get fired or something gets cut, you could end up, like, I know a lot of radio guys, and you guys do too, who were big in radio. They mm-hmm. talked and had so many fans, and now you see them on Facebook, and they're like, made some coffee today, and probably going to take a nap.
It's a brutal business.
Yeah. It's brutal. It's brutal. So I do feel like I have a lot of security on my side of the building.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, you that's something I mean? That you don't necessarily have on the on-air side.
Do you ever feel any jealousy towards younger people that come up and they're on the air and you're not?
I think we all do a little bit. I see some really cool stuff. I see you
guys.
Are
you on the air, bitch?
Yeah. I mean, you are technically younger than me. I see you guys do some cool stuff. You got to meet, you know, Ed Sheeran. You sat down on a couch and you talked with him. And I saw that. And my first thought was, that's what I want to do. And then I'm like, okay, but I do have a 2-year-old. You guys, you worked a full shift that day. Then you went out to the arena. You parked. You sat through traffic only to get this 5 minutes with Ed Sheeran. And yes, it was amazing. It was awesome. And I think to myself, oh my God, what would I have to do to make arrangements with my family to go and do something like that? It would cause chaos.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's interesting you say that because the same day for Ed Sheeran, I was like, I'm not going to the show. I'm not. I saw him once. It's fine. So we go and we do the interview, and he was fucking amazing. Yeah. Like probably best artist we've ever met. And immediately I'm like, oh, I gotta stay. Like, I have to stay for the show. This is it. Like, this is why I do this job. I get cool fucking perks every now and then like this. Mm-hmm. So I call my mom because, of course, she's watching my daughter. And I'm like, I think I'm gonna stay. Are you okay? Have things handled?
Are things good?
Are they good at home? And so I must have been on speakerphone. So then I hear my daughter in the background, is that mommy? And so my mom's like, yeah, just talk to Maya really quick. So she comes on and I'm like, hi, I love you. And she goes, I miss you. Are you coming home?
Oh, no.
I go, yep. Yes. Yep. I will be right there. Because, like, how can you literally have your kid just say that to you on the phone and then go, sorry, boo, I got Ed Sheeran tickets.
So when you said, oh, I'm on my way, does that mean you chugged your beer and watched one song and then left?
No, I walked out the meet and greet and left. Because it was going to be another, how long? Hour?
Yeah, hour and a half,
to the show actually started. I had to leave that second in order to make it even home before she got in bed so that I could at least see her and, like, read the bedtime story and do all the stuff. So then I put her to bed, and then I'm just sitting in my house, like, Ed Sheeran's on.
They had good old James Blunt open it up.
And I wanted to see James Blunt. No good. Anyway, but, like, you just, it's tough. It is tough, especially when you have a family and taking care of some of those responsibilities. So
does that...
See, this is what we go through. You guys don't know it. Every morning when I come in here, me and Holly tell Miguel stories
about how crazy it is to have kids.
To have kids and the things you do and the things you can't do. And Miguel just looks at us and goes, oh, hell no.
No.
I ain't having kids.
I can't imagine. Like, do you feel ever, and I mean, I know what you're going to say, but I can't wrap my brain around that. Like, do you ever feel any resentment?
I don't think resentment is the right word.
Not the right word.
Not the right word.
Regret?
No.
What word would you use there? What emotion is it? Because you know, you feel something.
Right.
Because you can't totally be like, as human being,
you feel some type of way.
Glad I came home and didn't see Ed Sheeran. Like, and especially in those moments when, like, your kid is like, you know, kids say things that hurt your feelings and they're like, I hate you, mommy, or you're not the best mommy. And you're like, well, you know what, bitch, I fucking love Ed Sheeran for you. That's why I feel like I would not be a good parent, because I don't know if I would not be able to put those emotions down.
I think it just is, what is the word, Buck? Like, it's,
I don't
know.
You love your kid. You want to raise them the best that you can.
You want to be the best parent.
But you're like, damn it, it was Ed Sheeran.
I know. It's like you want, it's a really hard trade-off of, and it's not this, it's case by case. Sometimes you win as your old, and I say this, and I feel like not a lot of other parents think this way. Like, I still consider their, like, Holly, who has a radio career and a going out life, and then there's, like, parent Holly. And, you know, it's not that never the two shall meet, but they're two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the going out slash old Holly who wants to go stay at an Ed Sheeran concert gets to do what she wants to do. And sometimes parent Holly gets to do what she wants to do, where it's take care of your kid. And it's like a quick little battle of the inner, you know, the brain, where you have to weigh out, well, what in the long term is going to mean more.
Let me just say this. If you plan on having kids and you plan on having a great career, get your career started first.
Yes. Oh my
Knock
God.
Out the important years when you can stay all night somewhere and shake the hands and kiss the babies. Get your career started and then have the kid. Because when you have that kid, you're going to miss some stuff.
Yeah. I think, honestly, and it hit me when I first watched Devil Wears Prada, which everybody loves. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really the first movie where I realized you cannot have it all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And to everybody else, they were like, oh, what's her name? Anne Hathaway at the end of the movie. She did the right thing. She left that mean old lady. And I'm like, does anyone else not see the point of this movie where it's she can't have a high stress, high profile career and also be in love? Does anyone not see that she just had to pick between a career and a family?
Yeah. Right.
And apparently nobody did, because I'm the only one that got that message from that movie. But like, it's true. And then that was way before I had a family and a kid and stuff. But it was like scary because I'm like, oh, fuck.
Right, that's what's coming.
Going down that track. And I think it was Shonda Rhimes who was giving her speech at like Harvard or Yale or something a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And she was so real and broke it down. And she said, you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time.
Right.
She's like, if I am at the Emmys and my actress in my show is getting an award, I'm there to see her and we're all celebrating in that moment for being at the pinnacle of our careers, my daughter is going to bed without her mother that night. So I'm winning in this arena, but I'm losing over here. If I'm taking my daughter to ballet class and sharing this moment with her that, yeah, she's going to probably have a lot of ballet classes, but they're limited. I mean, you can only have so many in a kid's life.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm there and then I'm missing the Emmys, I'm winning as a parent, but I'm kind of losing in my career arena. Or if I'm not at that meeting with the new head of the new such and such.
Right.
You can have these things, but you can't have them all at the same time. And so... You have to choose. And that's, I think, been my biggest lesson since becoming a parent, in that sometimes you have to make the hard decisions. Would it have been fucking amazing to go see Ed Sheeran? Yes.
Right.
And I'm a little sad. A part of me, I think that's the best word. A part of me is a little sad that I didn't get to go.
Right.
But then it's over and done with, and like we've moved on. I still got to meet him.
Right.
So I won in that aspect.
That's all that matters. Come on.
I know. Right. But then also I was there for my daughter when some nights I'm not going to be able to be because that was a choice. And some nights I can't. Like we're going to be at, Halloween Horror Nights coming up. I have that commitment. I'm not going to be able to put her to bed that night. So
now, is there ever any annoyance or anger whenever you can feel, and I guess both of your kids are young. Like Holly, your daughter's 4. How old is your son?
2.5.
2.5. So, they can't really articulate right now that, I hate you, mommy, or,
can't.
Right.
Mine is sassy F. Like, she's getting there.
But there will come a time when your daughter is a teenager and, you tell her no and she's going to, yell all these crazy ass things at you. Like, I can't wrap my brain around how, I would just want to be like, do you know what I did for you?
But I think that's every parent's, that's the paradox of being a parent.
Or does that feeling go away because you're like, and I guess I'm going off of TV shows when it happens. And the parent's always like, I know they're mad at me, but I made that sacrifice and I'm happy. I'm like, that's not real life. I feel like I'd be like, fuck you, bitch.
Now, a part of you, I think, immediately reacts in not anger, but has a very, physical thing where you're like, what the fuck did you just say?
Yeah.
Then also, I think it's like, okay, eventually you're going to understand. Like, kids can't see the big picture.
Right.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even really their fault that they're so vehemently angry in that moment, I think. And that's, again, a maturity thing. Like, I can see the bigger picture now. That includes her bigger picture. She can't see it. And when she's a teenager, this is where it's going to be really hard. She going to think she sees it.
Because
teenagers think they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because I was that teenager. Mm-hmm. I thought I knew fucking everything. And so it's not until you get into your 20s and even sometimes into your 30s where you're like, oh.
Oh.
Damn.
I got
okay.
it.
Okay.
You know what? That completely makes sense because as I this past weekend, I was in Savannah doing a speech and sort of talking with some young kids at the Savannah College of Art and Design. And there were a couple kids who were talking and I would just let them, because I'm a listener. I love to listen. And I was like, God, you think you have all the answers. But I can tell you from being, now post 12 years from where you are right now, your life is about to be fucking rocked when you walk across that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no clue. But you're right. As a person who is, 10 years older than them, I was able to be like, all right, cool. Well, you do your thing.
Right.
And, here are some guidelines you may want to follow, but you're probably not going to because you're going to do your own thing.
And that's really how they learn.
The answers.
But
so, and I can see if it's your kid and added on that unconditional love, you're sort of like, okay, go ahead and slam your door, bitch. Whatever. You'll be thanking me.
Yeah.
I did all this for you when you're 25 and, you're not strung out on drugs somewhere.
Oh, God. Right.
Under a bridge. You'll be thanking me.
Yeah. You know? And you got to take those lumps, I guess. But you know that it's for the greater good. So,
right.
And I like to sometimes this is a Miguel and I thing that we do where we're like, I'm being the better person on that. So I'm just going to revel in my own self-knowledge of being awesome. And you just let me know in a couple years when it comes back around.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine. But again, that's just speculation because I don't have a teenager.
Well, that's actually interesting you say that because that was the thing I wanted to bring up. We were talking about this earlier off the air about what is your baggage that you bring to
that
a relationship.
Was it, Miguel?
That's it's what out. I wanted to talk about.
He wouldn't
about.
Tell us. He wouldn't yeah. tell us when that, this started. Okay.
That's what I wanted to talk about. Because we were talking about a situation that my current boyfriend now, Mr. Silver Fox, he's in a situation that it, his home where he lives, it's on the outside. It looks awkward, you know, because he lives with his ex, who his ex's mother is also Mr. Silver Fox's business partner who and is also his best friend.
There's a lot going on.
So there's a lot going on. And so for, you know, 10 years ago when I was 30 or 22, I would have been like, ooh, girl, like that is ripe for drama.
I did not sign up for all of that shit. Yeah.
Girl, I'm not walking up in that hive's nest. But hive's nest and that bee's nest. But
bees
now,
in
bees in a trap. But now, as a 32-year-old who can sort of talk and assess the situation, I see that from the outside, it looks crazy. But now that I know all the moving pieces and like I know all three people, and like it's not baggage, but it looks like it. So I was thinking, what is your baggage that you come to the table with? And that's one of mine that I was telling Mr. Silver Fox about, is that I'm always going to try to act like I have morally won a situation. Like, I will always just know that going in, and you probably know it because him and I were friends, and like you've probably seen me do it several times, but just know, and even sometimes I don't even know that I'm doing it, I'm going to be like, well, clearly you did this and I did that, and so who is the wrong person in that situation?
Like, you've already been the moral judge and jury.
Exactly. Already.
And so you've just won.
And please believe, girl, they've already gotten to bang the gavel. I have gotten the bailiff to take my handcuffs off. I won.
Yeah.
But that's part of my baggage.
Yeah.
What is your baggage that you bring to your relationship? Whoever wants to go first.
Well, I want to add something to yours, Miguel.
I've got a list, too. I've got something.
I guess we'll do that. You'll go around. You tell yours. We'll tell you what else is your baggage as well.
Yeah, because Miguel, today, when we were talking about this is what we want to do in the podcast, Miguel's like, what's my baggage? And I was like, that would be interesting if we said what we thought each other's baggage was.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
So I will just give you that if I were looking to date you, which I'm not because I have a vagina, I would say, you know, well, okay, so this guy is in his 30s and he's had a couple relationships. Like, this is the kind of stuff you find out on a, you know, the first few dates.
Right.
He's had a couple relationships, but they've sort of had the same pattern where he gets into relationships with people that aren't really good for him, and then he suffers through them for a couple of months longer than you need to, and then that's the end of it. And I'd be like, is he a very good decision maker?
Ooh.
Like, is he good at making life decisions for, like, what does he know what he wants?
Right.
Does he know himself?
Right.
I would think, given your dating past, that for me would be baggage. Because I'd be like, I don't know if he knows himself.
Right. So you'd be on the first date, and I'd be like, well, I've had two long-term serious relationships. Each one was for a year, and about 6 months in, I knew it wasn't right, but I kind of kept going along thinking that it could get better.
Right.
But then to me, I would think that, okay, well, you know, you tried to make it better. That would be my question, is like, what made you think that it was going to get better? And then when was the point that you realized it wasn't? And then how long did you stay in it?
Yeah.
Because then I would be afraid. I'd be like, well, how do I know you're not doing it to me?
Yes.
How do I know it's not that situation?
And how do I know that you were even right at choosing me to go on a date with?
Right.
So
that makes
that's
sense.
Part, I would say probably that more than the moral thing is just quirky and funny, and I do the same thing. So that was what I thought.
Buck?
If I looked at you and let's say me and you were going to date and I just got to know you, we went out to eat somewhere, you know, probably at one of your favorite restaurants.
Yes.
Like the one down the street I will not name.
Glory holes.
Glory hole days.
Oh my God.
I would say for if I was not in radio or TV and I wanted to date you, Miguel, the biggest baggage for me would be getting ready to compete with you. Saying, okay, I wanna hang out and I wanna Netflix and chill. I wanna go see a movie. I wanna go out to eat with you and buy you a dinner. Oh, I can't book tonight. I gotta go meet Ed Sheeran. Oh, then the next night I gotta go do this. Oh, I can't go out late because I gotta wake up early for a morning show.
Right.
Then
that's
I gotta
true.
Go to boot camp. You know, like where's time for us.
It's like you're in a relationship with, I don't think about this because I'm the same way, but you're in a relationship with radio already. So where do I fit into your life?
And that's no fault of yours, but that's your career. Right. But to me, if I wasn't in radio, if I was just a, what do we call, civilian?
A layperson.
Yeah. A layperson.
That would be my baggage.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And, you know, I understand that. And what I always try to do to combat that, and especially with Mr. Silver Fox, my question is always, what do you want to do? And that's a lesson I learned in my last relationship, because my ex-boyfriend used to, at towards the end, he would get very frustrated and he would tell me, we always do what you want to do. And so at the end, and it was, you know, it was sort of like too late to be like, well, what do you want to do now that it's already been established that, well, I'm going to make the plans and we're going to do what Miguel wants to do. Exactly. And so now I really try to make a very concerted effort to be like, what do you want to do? And then also with that, not be a bitch about it when it's not what I want to do, because I know that about myself.
True.
If I don't get to do what I want to do, I'm going to be like, fuck.
You're going to do it, but you're making it miserable to do it.
Yeah.
Which is even worse. I would rather not do it at all.
Right.
So just at least you know that about yourself.
Yeah, what if he keeps, Mr. Silver Fox, he keeps bringing up just horrible stuff, like stuff you hate.
Right.
What do you do?
Well, then at that point, I know that it's not a match.
Right.
Because then if you, and he, and once again, this is why I'm glad we're friends, because he knows this about me. He knows that, like, if I don't want to do something, I'm going to do it because I love you and I want to see you happy. But, like, let's not do it all the time. Like, there has to be a give and take, because he's really good about going with the flow with whatever I want to do. And so if I do it, I'm like, all right, girl, let's do it. I'm going to have fun. It's fine, girl. But, like, I can't be doing it all the time, because I'm going to be like, where's me time? I need, Miguel needs his time.
You lying, you.
But we have that understanding so far.
Ryan, I want to know what your thoughts are. You've been quiet.
On Miguel?
Yes.
So Buck said...
the radio thing.
The radio... what was yours again?
That I would question his dating past.
Oh, okay. I would say it depends on what type of person they would be, because you know a lot of people and have like friends. So it goes along with Bucks. It would be like the time spent.
Spending time.
Because you have like a lot of people and friends that know you, and it's like if they're insecure, they're gonna be jealous or
you're going high maintenance friends.
Oh, I bet Miguel, when he's watching a movie, I bet his phone is just notification.
Yeah,
notification,
it's like you're always on your phone.
I would be like, turn
somebody,
your phone the fuck off.
Yes.
Or Snapchat's in their face, or you're angry. So one of those.
Yeah, that's true.
No, that is true. That is true. And I do try to make a concerted effort when we are just the two of us. Like this past Sunday when I got back from Savannah, I was like, we're not doing anything else with anyone else. This is just going to be our day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to do that thing I do where we're hanging out. And I'm like, well, Greg just texted me. And they're at the pool. Do you want to go? I was like, no, this is our day. So no, that is very true. Let's move on to Holly.
Okay.
Holly, so real quick, what do you think your baggage is before we get to you?
I mean, the obvious go-to is having been through a divorce and all of the stuff that goes along with said divorce. Mm-hmm. And dealing with that, like, you know, the circumstances that brought me to it. Just there's a lot of that whole situation that we don't really get into huge details about. We did one podcast about it like way, way back. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was still going through it and it was
raw.
Difficult. That'd be interesting to revisit it at some point.
That was
point.
A lot of crying podcasts back then.
A lot of fucking
remember
crying.
Remember that one, like the one right when you revealed on the air you were getting a divorce?
Yep.
And then we did a podcast right afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think you cried for the whole 45 minutes.
And I didn't cry at the beginning. I finally started crying halfway through and then didn't stop. It was rough. It was still a really rough time for me. I wasn't through the dark yet. But all of that mess, that heartbreak year-ish that I went through, and then the fact that I do have a child with my ex-husband. So to me, personal life, that baggage is that it. Here it is. Here's what I got, and that's tough. I would imagine to deal with.
I think for me, if I were about to date you, the baggage I would see is your mom.
How did I forget about that? Gosh.
Well, because we would go on a date and I'd be asking you, and then it's very clear that, like, your mom is going to be with you, you know, until she can't anymore, you know? That would be very clear. And so to me, I know growing up, my grandmother would always tell us, and tells us now, you know, when I saw my uncles go through stuff, is do not let someone's parent live with you when you're married, because they're going to put some stuff in your ear, and then that's going to cause discourse in your marriage.
Yes.
And so I immediately would be like, well, what does it look like in 2-3 years when we finally decide to move in together and we're all sitting at the table and your mom is always there? Is she the third person in our relationship?
Yeah.
And so that's sort of what I would see as your baggage and be a little concerned
for
about.
For sure. I mean, I'm concerned about it myself. Like, it's one of those life things that you're like, ugh, what? There's no clear, easy answer.
No,
so,
no, not at all.
I feel you.
Buck?
I agree 100%. I just think that the mom and the kid, by default, I mean, it's a good thing that that's your baggage, because it's nothing personally about you. It's not like, oh, Holly's a bitch.
I appreciate that.
No, it's your mom and your daughter.
Yeah.
And that's in anybody who's a single parent, that is their baggage.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to come over? Sure. Can I bring the kid?
Yeah. Hey, you want to come over? It's cool. Okay, so my mom is probably going to be cooking and she's going to ask you a million questions and my kid's going to be on you. But you know what? Please come.
Right.
Well, I will say the good thing about that is that, you know, you are in your mid-30s and you're not trying to date someone who's like 22.
Right.
And so I think the people that you were sort of talking to were sort of in that same life.
Yeah, it was when I first got through, like, going through the divorce, and there was a couple of people that I talked to that were in their 20s, that obviously was never going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a stark difference.
It is.
When you talk to someone who's not in your life group and you're like, how does this even work on a Friday night?
Exactly. And you know what? If I had been in my 20s and met someone with my same situation, I'd be like, I'm not dealing with that.
Bye.
I wouldn't do me. I'd be like, bye, that's nice.
I'm going to go get drunk at McDenton's. I don't know about you, bitch. Bye.
Right. Bye. So I get it. I would have been that person too. So, but that's where I am.
Ryan, what's Holly's baggage?
I would say conversely to the young men that look towards you, the older men, they might think that you are maybe too fun.
What do you mean by
your personality
fun?
Like to stay young and you're hip and you don't act. I mean,
cool shirt, Holly.
Holly's wearing a Jimmy Eat World.
Analytically and like reasoning wise, emotionally, your age, but other ways, you like to keep it young.
Yeah.
So that, like, when you've dated older guys in the past, that's maybe been an issue.
True.
Somewhat.
No, so. That's true. That is, I didn't even realize that was an issue, and you're really right on that, because it is, I'm a weird anomaly where it's like, I am 35.
She's
35! Okay.
She's 35!
Okay, you guys
scream
at me! I see a wrinkle!
She's born 82! I see a wrinkle!
Fellow masculine, you know, man over here. Ugh. At what point does cougar kick in?
Oh, the coug? Oh, she's a...
No.
Yeah.
Is there an age limit to that?
No, because that's why when I was single...
If you have a kid...
Well, when I was single, I was like, excuse me, I'm a puma. Because cougars start when they're 40.
Okay.
Thank you.
She's still got 5 years.
That's the distinction.
Because she's 35!
But that's the problem, though, is that I'm a weird dichotomy of what did you say? You said reason and logic, like someone in my age group. But due to my career and just a lot of the people that we hang out with as a friend group, I would put myself probably at like 28 because I'm out like saying things like, we about to be lit this weekend. And they're like, can you speak like a normal person? And I'm like, oh, I don't know how. This is who I am. I'm sorry. So it's
like,
weird.
Check out these new emojis.
I'm like, did I seen that meme? Sorry, bro. So I get it. That's
like
good.
Memes. What are those?
Memes. Yeah. So that's why I'm really glad actually that my boyfriend is the same age now, like, you know, now that I'm with him, like, we're the same age, but he is similarly young-minded. It actually works out.
Right.
Because Ryan's right. It wouldn't with somebody my age or older who's an actual adult.
True.
Yeah.
Buck?
Oh, man.
What's your baggage?
My baggage? I was thinking about this as we were going around the room. Like, what the hell is wrong with me?
What's my baggage?
What's my baggage? Man, I think my baggage, I know people don't really know me. You guys know me pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All three of you. Fucking Ryan. I don't know. My baggage, I think it's all head issues. I think it's mental craziness is my baggage. I expect so much. I put so much damn pressure on myself. And I set secret goals for myself that I randomly think of as I'm taking out the trash. Mm. You know, I'll be taking out the trash and I'll go, within a year, I'm going to be a superstar. You know? And then a week later, I'm pissed off because I realize that I have no actual path to achieve that goal.
Mm.
And I do weird random stuff. Like all week, I'll think of, I want to take my son to the zoo this weekend. Okay. And all Monday, I'll think, yeah, we're going to have a great time at the zoo. Tuesday, I'm like, yeah, we're going to go see the monkeys. He loves the monkeys.
Mm.
And then by the time Saturday comes around, it's time to go to the zoo. I wake up and I'm like, everybody ready? And then my wife is like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, I realized I didn't even tell anybody
like,
that
you've got no zoo plans.
Fucking zoo. Yeah. Like, hey, you guys
are like, monkeys, we have a date. Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm like, I've been thinking about this all week. And my wife is like, you never relayed to us.
Yeah.
You never said a word about this. And I'm like, oh my God, I hyped this up. And I hype everything up in my mind.
Mm. Communication, Buck.
Yeah. You've been talking to my wife. It is communication.
Yeah. Come on, communication, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if I were to say what your baggage is after knowing you for a while, and I think I would be able to pick up on this, is I feel like you, even though I don't think this, but I think that you feel like at this point in your life, you feel like you would be a lot further along in life than you would be career-wise, and that would worry me. Because then I would be like, well, I'm proud of you, and I think what you do is very respectable, but if you don't think that you are respectable or what you do is respectable, I can't help you with that.
Right.
And to me, I feel like that's what I would pick up on, and that's what I think would be some of your baggage if you were single.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The unreal expectations that you place on yourself.
Yeah.
And also the things that you worry about that other people have no idea that you're worrying about, and you like make yourself sick with like stress and either they're like imagined stressors or they're very real stressors, but like you just kind of have these little mini blow ups sometimes, these little mini meltdowns that nobody ever can really help you with because we're like, what happened to Buck?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's probably the communication versus like how you see yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I come in here some days to film you guys, and on some days I'm like a hot mess. I'm just like, can you believe this? And can you believe that? And then other days I come in and I'm like, hey. And
you're like, hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up?
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
What, do y'all want to have lunch today?
Yeah.
Hey.
Same. Yeah,
just like I put off joining you on this podcast for so long. I wanted to do this podcast, but I wanted to be asked to do it. So then I got asked to do it,
saying,
and then I refused to do it. And then you guys
never asked me.
Yeah.
And then we asked you, well, I can't do it now. Oh,
yeah. Right. You're supposed to be on like a year ago.
I know.
You're like, no, I'm good.
I know. I'm so fucking stubborn. And I want things to go like just like you, Miguel. I want things to go my way. Mm. I have a plan for it all. I know what I want controlled. And then when it doesn't happen, I'm just like, well, you know what? Fuck it.
True. I'm not going to do it now.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think Buck is a secret party
animal. Yes.
Mm. And it could be unleashed at any moment.
Yeah, Buck is a secret party animal, but also, like we talked about earlier, where you have to mix family life and your old, like, Buck was a fucking crazy ass bitch as a younger guy, like in his 20s.
I was, but I haven't done anything in so long.
No, but you still want to party sometimes.
Oh yeah,
and you always you feel like you're missing that.
You have FOMO.
Yeah. Just gonna say FOMO.
Buck has the craziest fucking stories. Like Buck, from what I understand, you like were bitten by a shark. Like fucking, you got attacked by a bear.
Bear attack.
Homeless. Like damn. I don't
homeless
even know.
In Seattle.
You're ridiculous.
I mean, and your name is Buck. I mean, for fuck's sake. Like, if your name is Buck, clearly you're the party guy.
Yes.
Like, you're the guy that's like, Buck Nasty's
Buck
here.
Nasty.
We're about to get Buck wild.
Seriously, like, you're the guy at the 30-year reunion when you walk in, everyone's like, high five, Buck.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I would definitely get the feel that, like, you're a guy that probably to the end of his day is still going to want to go out and have fun. And then I would be worried that I'd be the person that's going to, like, keep you trapped and, like, not let you be the Buck Nasty that you want to be.
you're kind of right in there. Like, my wife, the home life, my wife, she can drink way more than me. I hardly drink. But every now and then I get this itch, and I want to go do something. But I'm like, what's that movie with Owen Wilson where, Hall Pass, where they get to go out, and they go to Applebee's, and they're like, it's 9 p.m. You guys ready to go home?
Club Apple. Yeah. Woo!
Freaking dad life now. Yeah.
Well, you got to think about the repercussions of the party life.
Yeah. Now you do.
So how many days you're going to lose.
Because when you're older, you have to think that way.
A hangover is like a week in the hospital.
Yes.
But I want to say this on record. I get invited to so much. You know, Ryan, your birthday last weekend, and just random parties.
My housewarming.
Your housewarming.
Holly's housewarming.
My housewarming.
I don't go to shit.
No, you don't.
I don't go to shit, and it breaks my heart.
I do give Buck credit for never, ever going to anything.
True.
You get the award.
He's consistent.
But it's that work balance, family balance life that I'm trying to do. We moved way up to the suburbs, so I'm not in St. Pete. I used to be right here by you guys. Mm. And I used to go to everything and just be everywhere. And it kind of hurts. It hurts me emotionally. And I have to like look at people and go, Ryan, I want to come, man. But I'm not going to be able to do it, man. I got to change diapers.
I don't go to stuff if it's too far either. So if I moved out there, I wouldn't do it either.
So like when you see pictures on the weekend and like Snapchats and Instagrams and you're sitting at home on the couch, are you like...
It puts me in emotional wreck when I see it. And I don't think jealousy is the word, but I think it's like... I don't want you guys to feel like I don't want to be there. I want to be there so bad, but I'm at the point in my life where I can't just say, well, honey, watch the kid. I'm going to a kegger in my buddy's backyard.
Right.
Even though I wish I could, I should. And then if I do bring my wife, then we got to get a babysitter. Then the whole night ends up costing me $100. And I got an Uber from St. Pete to Tampa. And then in the morning, go get my car.
Yeah.
Where's my kid? Did he go to grandma's house? Like, oh, my.
Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
I don't want kids.
It's an emotional wreck.
Holly's got a decent setup with the mom situation.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's baggage, but at least it gives me some freedom that you don't have.
Yeah. Not like you abuse that.
I try not to. I mean, I really try not to because when I'm at, like, if she's with Maya, I'm always, like, I'm never stress-free if it's my mom with Maya. Like, if it's with my ex, if she's with him, I'm like, well, that's daddy-daughter time. Right. I'm free today.
Yeah. Right.
But if it's, like, I'm leaving on my weekend when my mom is there, I'm like, oh, fuck. Mm. But it does afford me the luxury of going to do more work things, again, that I wouldn't be able to do if I didn't have her. So it's, like, a very necessary situation.
It's tough.
It's something.
Ryan, what's your baggage?
I don't know, Ryan.
It's going to be a lot.
Write this down. Well, let me pull out the scroll.
I don't say much.
Yeah, probably just speaking in general.
I can though.
It's just I'm tired all the time, and I just don't feel like doing human things.
What?
It's like I get up at 5 in the morning.
But even before that, here, let me just go ahead and interject and help you with your words. Because I've known you since we've been here, because you were working on staff when we got here as in promotions. And, like, I could always feel your energy was very good. Like, I always liked working with you, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, we... You know, had you brought you on as a producer because you are a hard worker, but you never said much. Like I wouldn't pull up next to you and be like, "Well, let me see how Ryan's doing. Let's have a conversation." Like I know if you and I go to lunch or if I take you somewhere, it's probably going to be quiet a lot of the time. So I know that if you and I are on a date, I'd be like, "I cannot date this bitch because I'm just talking to a wall. He's not going to say much. Maybe when he's drunk."
Like although I was going to say, sometimes when Ryan gets drunk. A little bit drunk, or if he's really passionate about like something,
right?
Then you can't stop him.
Yeah. Right.
Like he will go, and he's got a lot to say, and it's really great. But like you have to get those moments. They don't happen that often, but usually I've seen them when we've been drinking. So he does do that sometimes.
Because Holly and I, you could fucking just put this little charger I have here that my phone's on right now. You could put this in front of Holly and I, and then we could have a 10-minute conversation about it.
Yes,
you put President Trump in front of Ryan, he'd be like,
meh.
Sup.
Sup, bro.
Sup, dude.
Kind of sup.
Sup, it's your hair.
Hey, Cheeto.
See this meme, though?
The difference is I talk more over like digital communication.
Yes. Yeah, you'll communicate, you know, with funny memes and I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but I think if I were trying to go on a date with you, I would consider that a bad thing.
Well, that's because that's not what you're looking for.
Exactly. I want somebody to talk to me.
Yes. Same. Which is one of the major problems in my marriage. Like, he wasn't a talker either.
Right.
With Ryan, I will say that, oh God, I lost my point. Wait a second. It was that, Ryan is stubborn when it comes to like spending money and what he spends money on and getting a deal. And like, like if he gets sidetracked on something where somebody's like, oh, hey, Chipotle's got some kind of like coupon or whatever today, but you have to skip through a few hoops to get it, he will sit there for like 5 hours and put way more time than it's worth to get a free damn burrito. And you can't even be like, can you just stop? No, I can't. Okay, so he just gets on these little like kicks where he can't focus on anything else.
Or if there's something where he feels like is not of value to him, or like he's too expensive, like he's just not gonna do it.
No.
Like Ryan, like I feel like most times I can convince most people to do just about anything.
Yeah, you're pretty good. Yeah.
But I know that if like there's a cafe next to us, like I know that if I wanna go there after lunch or for lunch with all of us, I'm going to have to be like, Ryan, I'll pay for you. And then he'll be like, no, it's not worth it. And it's like, Ryan, please, will you just go with us? I will pay for you. It's fine. I think the last time I got him to finally eat it is I was like, let me break down the menu. The chicken sandwich you want is $8. If we went to McDonald's, it would also be $7. So it's only a $1 upcharge. And he was like, I guess.
And then he reluctantly scrolled over.
Buck, what is producer Ryan's baggage?
I look at Ryan. Shut up. I look at Ryan, and you know, me and Ryan are pretty good friends, even though we give each other a hard time. That's kind of our
thing.
Mm-hmm. I look at Ryan, and I see as his baggage, I see him not knowing what he's got. Sorry, I have a cough drop. Drop in my mouth.
Oh, are you crying?
No, my throat is sore as fuck.
Oh.
What are you doing with your throat? Oh,
Buck's going to get us all sick.
No,
I'm already on antibiotics, y'all fuckers.
I'm not. great for you.
What I mean by that is, so Ryan was in a band, and I never heard him play, but I think he was a pretty badass guy in a band. Lead singer, maybe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ryan did sing.
All right.
Mm-hmm. You're lucky I'm not playing headphone karaoke.
True. He'd kick all our asses.
Right.
Then he took this job. He sold all his musical instruments, and he bought a camera or two cameras, or I don't even know what he's up to now, with lenses and filters and camera straps and thousands of dollars worth of stuff. So he's really good. He's really good at Photoshop, really good at photos. But what his baggage is, what I see, I don't even know if baggage is the right word, I see him in this spot as the producer of the show, and he's so quiet. I feel like in your role right now, I know you want full time really bad, but I feel like you've got the tools and you're in the situation where you could totally make a career out of this. I mean, this, what you're doing right now is where everybody starts. Isn't that where your old sidekick Mandy, wasn't she a producer just like that?
She was, yes.
And and then now she's what, hosting her own shows?
Mm-hmm.
She is.
I see you. You have all the abilities, but I don't know what the word is.
Do you feel like Ryan? If you went on a date with Ryan and he was telling you what he does for a living, and then you sort of found out a few dates later his backstory, do you think he's wasting his potential by being a producer on our morning show?
No, I feel like he's not taking advantage of his job. So if I went on a date with Ryan and he said, oh, yeah, I'm the producer for Miguel and Holly's show, I'd say, oh, that's cool.
You'd be like, oh, can I meet Miguel? Is he really cool in person?
Oh, sadly, I'm blown off.
That would probably happen. Oh, my God, I love that thing where people go on dates called blown off. Just get it right. It's fine.
I'd just be like, oh, cool. When can I hear you? Oh, well, I don't talk. Oh, well, why not? You know, I'd be like, oh, you should get in on at least
one. But that's not his
segment.
Like, I don't think Ryan wants to talk. I think, and don't tell, like, he gonna leave us. Like, he knows what he has. Here's what's cool about Ryan.
Wait, hold on, Holly. Before you say that, I feel like we do this a lot for Ryan. We just talk for him. Do you want to talk on the radio?
Yeah, bitch, dude.
Because we always say that before he says it.
If I know what I'm gonna say, I'm good. but otherwise I can't. Like, impromptu speech is not my forte, like Holly said.
Clearly.
I'm just trying to help a bitch out.
I know. I just, you know, as you were saying that.
I always think before I speak because I'm very introverted. And then, so, like, just to compile, like, how I'm going to say it to somebody else, it, like, is rattling around in my brain. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to me that way. But, like, to get it out to somebody else, no.
No.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, because I wanted to ask, because I feel like we always, whenever anyone asks, I'm always like, well, he doesn't want to talk on the radio, so he's fine. And then Ryan's just like, hey, guys. So I'm like, wait, what do you want to? Do you have a desire ever to? Not saying that it could happen or it may or may not, but would you have a desire to do that at one point in your career? Or do you like being behind the scenes and sort of supporting the overall framework of what we do?
I like the support, but I could learn to do both.
Gotcha.
So.
Well, that I have no doubt about. Like, Ryan can learn how to do anything, which is what was going to be my point, was that literally he's, like, musician extraordinaire. One day, I feel like, literally on a whim, was like, I could do photography. And it's literally within the span that we've known him. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm going to do it. And literally has turned into one of the best photographers in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Like, so if Ryan says that he could learn to be on the air, he could. It's just a matter of does he want to.
Right. And knowing how to, because part of being on the air is you can't ever just know what you're going to say.
No. Yeah, you have to learn the fluid.
Yeah, you have to learn. And I didn't realize this. I remember when I was in college and I would just be really upset because, you know, I wasn't the smartest person in the room, wasn't the most athletic, blah, blah, blah. But I remember this lady at my college job at Barnes & Noble. She used to say, and she used to tell me this all the time, you have the gift of the gab. And I'd be like, that doesn't make it. Like, what can you do with that? Like, I know I want to be in radio.
That's what you do with that.
Give me money.
I know. But even in that, at that time, I didn't fully understand what that means. But then as I've matured in our career and sort of, you know, and just being able to talk to strangers and, you know, the fact that, like, when we started our morning show, I wasn't the main talker. Like, I was the person who, you know, would say one-liners here or there, but I was Ryan. I was Ryan who would get on the microphone every now and then. And then remember, during the 9 o'clock hour, I wasn't even there. I'd go edit the show.
Yeah.
And I didn't even talk on the show for a whole hour. So I didn't really understand. And then when I started hosting the show, when we were in Panama City, I was freaked out because I was like, I have to be the person that always has to have something to say. So, like, when you do your stories, and, like, to me, that's where I feel like we're so great, Holly, is, you know, you put together Hot in Hollywood and Trending, and then I don't know ever what you're talking about.
Nope.
But I always have something to say.
Yes.
And so
that's because we can talk about anything.
Right. But that's the gift of the gab that Homegirl was talking about back in the day that I didn't realize. And so I think there's a little bit of that that you have to have. But there's definitely an avenue for someone of your talent who needs a little bit more time to prepare what they're going to say to definitely shine and to have a place, you know, in what we do. So.
True.
I'm joking.
True.
Ryan said. True.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because Holly will bring up, like, oh, cool, there's, like, fancy butt sprinkled donuts today. And then instead of somebody just being like, okay, that's cool, yeah, you come back or have, like, a joke or just an experience, and you can think about how to twist that live right after hearing it.
Right.
And, like, I have to sit there for a minute and be like, what angle can I take on something?
Right.
It is true. I understand what you're saying, Ryan. I've seen Miguel and Holly in action, and all they need is a split second, and they've got, like, a 15-second read about something. And I'm like, how the hell did they just think of saying all that? Sounds so nice for over the radio.
To live.
Right.
Miguel, like, oftentimes, like, when you do the mattress firm or the Ideal Image or just whatever, like the endorsements, I see Miguel just, like, looks at the floor for, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
You can count to three, and he's like, all right, let's
got
go.
It.
Right. I know. That's what, and see, this is when I say we go back and forth well, because for things like Trending in Tampa Bay or for Hot in Hollywood, I'm the generator where I'm like, did you hear about Ariana Grande and her crazy ass? Miguel's like, blah, blah, blah. Whereas, like, for those endorsements, the roles are reversed. So Miguel's like, Holly, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. So it's just, it's a good balance of one's the generator, one's the reactor, and we just take turns doing that, and we recognize each other's strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
That's why this works. And it helps in radio if you have someone you can do that with. Otherwise, it's the flow, I feel like, isn't as good.
Right.
Well, yeah, it helps. You have a good flow, and that helps because You could tell by her inflection, like, which way is she going to stop talking next or let you talk? You just have that.
Yeah.
And some people don't. And you hear often people in radio, like, talking over one another or just, like, an awkward comment after something that shouldn't have had an awkward comment reaction. Or just, like, you could tell and it feels, like, awkward.
Stilted.
Whatever, on the radio.
Mm-hmm. I've experienced those moments.
Sometimes those are the worst.
Yes, and you're just like, okay, we're just going to keep going here.
Yikes.
Well, this was fun. Well, we're at an hour and 3 minutes.
Oh! Loud.
Well, Buck, how was your experience finally sitting in on the show?
I loved it. This was fun.
You enjoy it?
Yeah, now that I'm in, though, I'm in. So.
Buck's like, I'll see you next week.
Yeah. What time? Next week? Same time? Okay, I'll be here early.
Be coming.
Buck's like, I'm getting paid right now. So.
Yeah, this is paid gig, right?
That's true. Yeah,
for you, yes.
Yeah, girl, you're getting paid. You're on the clock. You're not getting paid extra for it. But yeah, feel free to sit in whenever you want to. We're always here.
You do these, what, once a week?
Usually we do them on Thursdays, but last week was a little bit of crazy because Miguel had to go out of town. And I really do want to get better about doing them, but sometimes it's just so difficult.
Well, now that you're doing middays, it's hard to sort of pin down a time, but maybe we need to just say Wednesdays at 11, we're going to do it no matter what.
Is this Wednesday?
No, today's Tuesday.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, sorry.
I thought it was Thursday.
Nope. Wait. Fine. Is today Tuesday?
It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
I was like, wait a minute. What is today?
It is Tuesday.
What is happening?
Okay.
Where are we?
Fine.
All right. Holly, what's all of your social media?
On Facebook, it is Holly on Hot 101.5. And everything else, it's Radio Holly.
Producer Ryan McGibney, where can people find you on social media?
Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Radio McGib. MCGIB.
Buck Nasty, our video producer and web content generator.
I wasn't ready for this question.
Oh,
so do you like
it's Buck Machete, and there's a story behind that, but that's for another day.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
On what? In Instagram?
Where can people find you?
Yeah, yeah, all that.
Wait, what? Which one specifically?
Are they all the same, or do you got like a zero that's an O? And
no,
there's an
underscore on one of them. I don't know. I got to go look at it.
Oh,
I wasn't ready for this.
This is why you got to always be ready. Bitch, if you got to be what radio is,
true.
You got to have your shit. You got to have your branding and your stuff ready to go.
No, one word, Buck Machete.
Okay.
We had to teach Ryan this when he first got here.
Ryan would be like,
Snapchat was like, I love hot dogs.
2949
McGibb. And I'm like,
and he'd have to go through every single thing separately. He'd be like, well, and Snapchat is, I don't really know what Snapchat is.
I don't have a Snapchat, by the way.
So Holly
told me I shouldn't get one.
It gets him in trouble.
I said, I was like, Buck, get Snapchat. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, don't. You know what? I'm the devil leading you down the path. Don't get it right now. So just don't.
All of my stuff is Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. And on Facebook, you can find me at facebook.com/RadioMiguel. And make sure to like our show page, facebook.com/MiguelAndHollyShow. You can find this podcast at Hot101.5TampaBay.com on the Hot101.5 app. Or always, please go to iTunes, type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Make sure to rate and subscribe. Until next week, bye!
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot 101.5 TampaBay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.